Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And happy Monday for the second Monday in a row.
We're getting used to the new norm of Mondays.
I know. I love it.
Yeah. And we're back in your apartment again.
Except it's not really Monday for us. We're recording 2 days before we actually drop the episodes. But it is such a gloomy day right now. Like, my energy is low.
Same. I'm going to have to hype us up somehow.
I know. And you know what made my energy really low?
What?
The last 5 episodes is Love is Wine UK, because there was just like a lot that happened, and I know we'll get into it, but there was just a lot that happened in that couple's meetup in London. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just lost faith in men pretty much.
Makes
me sad.
First of all, I thought there was going to be 4 episodes, and the fact that there was 5, I was like, how am I going to get through 5 episodes?
And the last one was like 70 plus minutes.
I know. Listen.
I was like, what made you guys think you could just shove an extra 20 minutes up in here?
That's why our best friend is watching it on 1.5.
Yes.
Speed.
1.5 speed. And I hate saying that because it is a very entertaining cast. And I do like a lot of the cast members on this season.
Yeah.
But I'm not a good binge, like, reality TV watcher.
Oh, I'm 100% a binge watcher. I love to do it. But when we want to just like get out an episode pretty quickly, yes, we just have to be able to do it in a certain amount of time. That's what sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I'll go back and watch it.
Yeah, we got other jobs.
Yeah. Before we get into our recap, though, I wanted to talk about It Ends With Us, the movie.
Oh, because we talked about this last week.
Yes. And I was like on my way to go watch it. I was so optimistic.
You were so excited.
And honestly, it was such a good movie. Obviously, as somebody who's read the book, it was a little hard because some of the details, and I won't get into the details because like if you've watched the movie and read the book, you know what details were missing. But apart from like the small things that I wanted to see in the film, it was a really good movie. Justin Natalie killed it. He was so good. But the sad part about this movie is kind of the aftermath of what happened after the movie has been released.
Like, I've heard so much about the drama surrounding this movie, and it's crazy.
There's so much drama, and it makes me kind of sad because I've always been a Blake Lively fan. But with every interview that I see of hers for this movie, it just makes me like her less and less. And that makes me really sad.
Same. So when you brought up the movie, I was like, maybe I'll go see it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then I saw all over on social media all this drama around this movie, but also between Blake and the director who also plays her love interest, or one of her love interests in the film, Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Just saw the drama between them, and it just like doesn't make me want to see it.
Yeah. Well, that's really sad. You should see it, but like, don't waste your money and go to a theater. Wait for it to come out on, I was about to say DVD, but that would age me.
On a streaming platform.
On a streaming platform. I don't think I even have a DVD player anymore, actually. But yeah, I honestly, it's been really sad. Like, I don't know the way she's talking in interviews. And listen, you don't have to talk about the DV, you know, trigger warning, domestic violence that happens in this movie. Because like, for example, if there was like a murder movie or murder mystery out, like no one's talking about the murder, you know, you're just like having fun, you're doing PR, totally fine. But the way she deflects certain questions from the interviewer and how she's speaking about like me, like I put this song in there, but you know, they were begging me not to, I'm not supposed to speak about it. Like, just like certain things and her mannerisms and the way she's talking is coming off a little narcissistic.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we spoke about this last week where I knew nothing about the film. I didn't know what it was about. But then I started seeing that it was about domestic violence. Like, mm-hmm, the main character that she portrays in the movie, Lily Bloom, is a victim of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
that is a huge part of the movie, the storyline, everything.
Yes.
And you cannot tell what a serious movie this is based on Blake Lively's behavior in the press. Like, she's all like, you know, grab your florals and go see the movie. Like, who the fuck says that?
I know. And honestly, there was no trigger warning. The fact that you were like, oh, I thought it was like a rom-com.
I thought it was this lighthearted rom-com based on how Blake Lively was marketing this movie. Like, yeah. I was like, is this like kind of like the Barbie movie?
Yeah, I'm dying.
Where it's like very, I don't know, just like very lighthearted and fun. But that's how she's acting. She even used the opportunity to market her hair care line. And I'm like, okay, what are you doing? And meanwhile, Justin is talking about in the press about how he hopes this movie, you know, sheds more light on the cycles of domestic violence and people who are in relationships.
Yeah. I love the way he's been doing PR because this movie is a great opportunity for victims who are going through this to kind of watch the movie and give them the courage to end the cycles. It's hard to break out of the patterns of it. And I think this movie, literally it says it in the title, it ends with us. That's the whole point of the movie. And
like, you hope the cycle ends
with us, like
with this relationship.
It. Yeah. And that's what was like really beautiful. I actually messaged Justin. Obviously he'll probably never see it, but I just think he's doing such a great job. But what's crazy about this whole situation is that you can tell Blake is like catching on to all the comments because the internet is definitely siding with Justin.
100%.
As are we.
Yeah. I'm even siding with Justin. I just feel like she gives out of touch energy.
Exactly. And I don't know if like the fame has gotten to her head because I know like Ryan Reynolds, her husband, and her are
like a like power couple.
Couple. They're doing big things in Hollywood. And I think, like, you know how we talk about this even with Love is Blind? Like, it feeds the ego a lot. And 100%. We're at such a smaller scale. And so I don't know. It's been a wrench in the movie for me.
Like, no, I know. I remember when we spoke last week after you saw the movie and you're like, honestly, now with all this drama, it kind of just like ruined my experience.
Yeah. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking about the drama. Like, I heard a little bit about it before going in, but it made me not like her at all. Like, if she had even read the book, she would know how to like embody Lily Bloom. And, you know, I won't go into the book talk side of things, but I was really pissed off. I was like, why are you smiling? I heard a funny comment somebody made was, did Blake know that this is like a serious movie? Because it looked like she was in a Colgate commercial. Like,
oh my gosh, just smiling all the time. Yes. Yeah, it's just, it's not good. Honestly, I don't know if this makes me a very negative and toxic person thinking like this, so let me know. But I do love these moments where like the true colors start seeping out beyond, you know, someone's like brand or reputation that they kind of curated for themselves. Yeah. Like Blake, like, there have been past interviews where she just treats people very poorly. Like, I saw that clip.
Oh my God, I saw it.
Also, by the way, the interviewer said that that interview from 2016 made her want to quit her job because Blake was so terrible to her.
It was honestly a really hard watch.
Yeah.
It was just the lack of respect and the lack of eye contact. Yeah. I was just like, why are you being so rude?
It starts off with the interviewer saying to Blake, like, oh, congratulations on your little bump, because Blake had announced that she was pregnant at the time. Mm-hmm. And Blake goes, congrats on your little bump, even though the interviewer isn't pregnant. But essentially, it's like, I don't know. I don't know why Blake was offended, but she was for some reason.
Yeah, like, is it because she said little bump? But like, she was like, I'm pretty sure she was pretty far along in her pregnancy. And it was like a very, even if somebody like said something where I felt a little bit disrespected, I'm not going to like be so fucking rude to them.
Totally.
I would just be like, oh, thank you. And then like kind of like gloss over it and just move on with an interview. Like, be a fucking professional and don't be a mean girl.
No, she was terrible. Like, and I was all like, oh, this is Blake's real colors.
I know. And you know, that got me thinking. I was like, you know, obviously I love Gossip Girl. I'm a team Blair, but I liked Serena. She plays Serena in Gossip Girl, obviously. But I feel like I just haven't heard her talk this much ever.
Yeah.
Like, in a public platform where it's personally her, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, Interesting. You've been hiding.
Yeah, exactly. I think the image that she curated for herself prior to, you know, this frenzy drama happening around her right now is because she was Taylor Swift's best friend. And she built this image of being a power couple with Ryan Reynolds. And yeah, you're right. We rarely heard her speak. And now she opens her mouth and you realize you are so out of touch.
Yeah.
And you literally do not give a fuck about the premise of the movie you were in.
Exactly.
You just want it to be like, people are saying that she's like kind of copying Taylor Swift of like creating this like fun vibe, because that's what kind of gets like Taylor's fans going, you know, of like, I don't know, it's like really fun culture. It's like even Barbie, when the Barbie movie came out.
Yeah.
And like, people are saying Blake's trying to emulate that, but you can't with a film about domestic violence.
Exactly.
What the fuck?
She's just like, she's kind of lost why the movie was even made and why Justin even bought the rights to the movie, because it like, it just has such a purpose to it. And I honestly, like, I'm not saying that she should be out here just constantly talking about DV. Yes, there's a lot of other things that are incorporated into the film. Even just her talking about herself and the role that she played in making this movie, I think what she's doing is setting herself up to direct the sequel to this movie. And I think she probably will, which is why her co-stars and Colleen Hoover is like on her side, because Blake and Ryan have the power in Hollywood to make it happen, you know? And so it's interesting. But one thing that's really funny too is I can tell in these interviews, her co-stars are so sick of hearing her talk.
No, you could
Their
tell.
Body language is hilarious to me. They're just like, they're just looking down, like not even nodding at what she says.
Yeah.
You know, they've probably done so many of those interviews.
Or they think she sounds so stupid.
Yeah.
Like when, I don't know where this interview was from, but she was asked like, hey, if like one of your fans stops you on the street and they want to talk about domestic violence, like what would you say? And she goes, like what? Like exchange my phone number?
Yeah.
Exchange my location.
She's and her like, co-star, I give you my address.
Yeah. And her co-star's like, oh,
I know. He's
God.
Just like, let me just sip my coffee. Yeah. That was what I don't understand why she had to give such a sarcastic comment back to that. Like, it's not hard. You have PR training. You've been in the industry for years. I don't know. The downfall of Blake Lively is really sad, because I was a huge fan of her, but you know, I had to unfollow her as well.
Same.
I know, I feel bad for doing that, but like, honestly, she has 40 million followers. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She doesn't notice. She doesn't, you and I are gone.
She doesn't need Deep D and Natalie.
Yeah.
But same. I had to unfollow her because I was like, just not the woman I thought she was. But it's so funny how you were so excited last week about the film and there's so much drama around it.
I know. That's the thing, is when I talked about Blake and Ryan on last week's episode, by the time the episode even came out, so much had happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh shit. Like,
you're like, let me take those words back.
That's the power of social media and like the exposure, and I don't know. It's sad, but I'm very happy the internet is on the right side of things this time.
Justin's side.
Yes. Well, you can even see it in their Instagram bios. Blake is like promoting her hair products and whatever else. And Justin is like, here's a link to find out more information on DV. And I'm like,
yeah, more resources. Crazy.
Beautiful. Anyways, we'll see how it all unfolds. Because now, right now, it's like a PR competition, you know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
You can tell it's like,
just like her team's putting things in the news against him and vice versa.
Exactly.
I heard that he had hired a big like PR crisis team. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
I don't blame him. I mean, he's up against Blake and Ryan.
Yeah.
But you know what? the people know who is in the wrong and who's in the right.
Yes, absolutely. And that makes my heart smile.
Speaking about drama, do you know who Molly May is?
Okay, so I recently just found out about her, and I feel like I've been living under a rock, because a lot of my friends sent me this, and I was like, who is Molly May?
Yeah. Yeah, she's crazy big. So she's actually one of the biggest stars from Love Island UK, and I didn't even watch Love Island UK, and I know of her, but she put out a statement a few days ago saying that her five-year relationship with Tommy Fury is over. So they are huge. So they actually met on Love Island UK, and she has 8 million followers. They have a daughter together. They were just known as like the power couple within like the reality TV space, but also the influencer space. Also, they recently got engaged a year ago. They didn't give a reason why they broke up.
I saw their little PR
Statement. People are saying, well, Molly has always heard Tommy was cheating on her for years. Mm. And so why did she just put out this statement? Like, it must be bigger than just cheating.
Yeah. And I wonder if she's like protecting him because that means that she's protecting her kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what's most interesting about this is mm-hmm. hours before she put her statement out, Tommy posted on his Snapchat stories of them on a dessert date. And then her statement came hours later. So clearly she learned something or something happened within those few hours where she was like, I have to get the statement out here. And it's a really sad statement. You could tell she's surprised because she goes, never in a million years did I think I'd have to write this. After 5 years of being together, I never imagined our story would end, especially not this way. I'm extremely upset to announce that mine and Tommy's relationship has come to an end.
Damn.
And it is like, that statement came out quick when they were just seen together.
Yeah, that is actually kind of wild. But again, it just kind of goes back to life can literally change within seconds and minutes, you know? And that, my heart goes out to her. That sucks. I mean, I know. I barely know her, but still is unfortunate.
Yeah. What I was thinking about as, you know, I was kind of following all the drama around this too, is they're always known as that like it couple, mm-hmm. that power couple, and it was part of their brand.
Yes.
Like they were just known for having a really cute family unit. They were known for being super, super happy. And I feel like it's these moments where you realize like, okay, social media can be a huge act sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Social media is literally the highlight reel of people's lives. And there are a very few creators who are very authentic and can put the dark sides of their life on the internet, but it's extremely hard to do. And I think like, I mean, I struggle with that a lot too.
Yeah.
But what's unfortunate is that I wonder if she's heard allegations about him cheating before, but now it got to the point where she couldn't ignore it. Like something maybe big might come out.
That's what people are thinking, like because, something's gonna happen.
Yeah, because I feel like she's been protecting her brand for so many years and kind of like glossing over the allegations. But that sucks for, like, Tommy shouldn't be taking advantage of that. Like, why are men so shitty sometimes? Like,
no, literally. And I was all like, what did this motherfucker do?
Yeah. But you know what? There's good men like Justin Baldoni, and then there's Tommy Fury. If the cheating allegations are true. That's
yeah, exactly. Ugh. Exactly. But, you know, it's so crazy how, again, like, people can curate their image on social media. Mm-hmm. And it also, like, kind of brings it back to Love is Blind, too, where... You know, I think, I hope all the couples or people who did Love is Blind are really happy mm-hmm. in whatever decisions that they made, whether they said, I don't or I do at the altar. You cannot trust social media.
Exactly. Like,
you cannot trust social media. You can't go to someone's social media and be like, oh, they are so happy. Like they're going to make it. Because look at Molly Mae and Tommy. Mm-hmm. People thought Tommy was head over heels in love with Molly Mae because how he posted her on his social media and how she talked about him, mm-hmm. you know, publicly. And it's like, no, it's not a reflection of real life.
Yeah.
This also makes me think about how Kwame and Chelsea from Love is Blind season 4 used to get a little bit of backlash because of their edit on their season of being a little bit more messy. And then people say, like, you could tell Kwame doesn't look happy in these photos. Mm-hmm. I mean, we receive the DMs on Out of the Pods all the time from you guys are pod besties and be like, I don't think he looks happy, but social media is not the best indicator for that.
No, not
And I feel like this is an example.
Oh, 100%. And it's just like, you know, like on Love is Blind when we have, what, thousands and thousands of hours of footage and they like kind of edit it down to 10 hours. It's a small piece of who you are and it's heavily edited. And that's exactly what social media is. Like sometimes I'm like, you can't even tell that I'm a funny, like, just kidding. I was trying to be serious. I was going to be like, if you go to my social media, you can't even tell that I'm funny and like bubbly. No, just kidding. I'm so serious on social media. Oh,
I know. Dead. People actually say that about my social media too. They're like, you can't tell you're really effing negative and pessimistic and a mean person. And I was like, yeah, I keep it PG and clean on my socials.
I know. I envy those creators who can be just so authentically funny and themselves all the time. I'm like,
Don't you feel like we have that humor that doesn't translate well into like little clips? I'm thinking in my head, I was like, are we even though funny?
I know I am because when I go to family reunions, I have my entire family laughing because why? I'm situationally funny. And
yes, situationally, yes, funny.
And I cannot be like, I'm not going to be here with a mic like, let me just tell you some jokes. No, absolutely not. Like, I do not have that stage presence.
Yeah, like, you just have to, like, be there.
Exactly.
You remember that joke that we cracked when we saw some... we were at...
We're so funny. I don't know what you want.
We were at Lollapalooza together, and we saw, like, a younger version of ourselves. Oh, we saw a really young East Asian woman hang out with a young Indian woman, and I go... Hey, that's us.
I actually died laughing. I was like,
and it's not funny when we say it here, but it was funny at the time. Like, we were cracking up.
I wish we could just like take little snippets of like the Black Mirror episodes where you can like flash back to your life and grab little clips. That's what I would love. Well, kind of.
I would hate that because when I'm in an argument and I'm recalling something that someone did to me.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't really remember.
Yeah, you're probably always in the
wrong. But I was like, I'm going to say it in a way where you really did me wrong.
It, like, hurt a little too much. That knife, like, twisted a little too hard.
So, anyways.
That's funny.
Are we funny on this podcast? Let us know at our Instagram page at Out of the Pots.
Okay, should we get into the recap of episodes 5 through 9?
Yes, we can. There's a lot to talk about. Before we start, though, can I share something that one of our pod besties sent us?
Yes.
And I confirmed it for myself at the time of this recording.
Tell me.
So none of the women on this Love is Blind UK cast follow Catherine and vice versa, but they follow each other.
Oh.
So like Sabrina doesn't follow Catherine, but she follows the other women.
Weird.
And, you know.
Interesting.
Et cetera, et cetera.
This comes back to our whole point that we were making earlier. Like, social media is kind of wild, but that means that something happened probably behind the scenes that we don't
know. Something happened that divided Catherine and the other women.
Yeah. And you know what? One good note to make here is that this season, I'm not exactly sure when it was filmed, but I'm assuming it was filmed a while ago. And
lots happened.
So much happens in between that time where social media is not even a thing. The show hasn't come out. So, you know, the group is kind of settling into their friendships. And I wonder if something happened.
And what's even more interesting is the women follow Freddie.
Oh, I mean, who wouldn't want to follow Freddie?
Yeah. And Catherine follows Sam.
I saw a TikTok today that was speculating that Catherine and Sam might like have a thing.
Like, can't spoil it now for our peeps.
I don't know, man. I don't know what's happening.
Just a speculation. Again, I don't know.
Allegedly, but who knows what's going on.
I know they haven't announced a reunion yet, but I feel like they will have one because we need to know what happened.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the women, I mean, if their sides per se are taking Freddie's side and not taking Catherine's. And I'm like, well, what happened?
If the theory is right that Freddie and Sam potentially might be together because she, we'll get into all of that, but like if they are together, then I can understand why everyone would side with Freddie and how like fucking crazy that is.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is gonna be interesting.
I know.
Is this
I
about
know.
To get juicy? You know how like after a Love is Blind season airs, all the aftermath drama happens?
Yes.
And then you're like, this is a whole new show we're
like
watching.
All the secrets start seeping out just a little bit and you're like, oh, well. The show keeps on giving.
It sure does. It sure does.
All right. Well, let's start with all the couples in Greece.
Oh my gosh. It's so crazy to put my mindset back there because so much has happened in these last 5 episodes.
Yeah.
But can I start with Catherine and Ollie? Like, what the fuck was that conversation? Because in my head, it just kind of seemed a little high school to me. That they're kind of having a conflict over who ended it.
Yeah.
It was just like an ego.
Do you
like,
remember who thing. Ended it? I don't.
It was Catherine who mentioned it, but Ollie was going to go into that date being like, I'm going to end it. And
yes, and he clarified that.
Yes, but I think Catherine kind of caught on to the energy that like his connection with Demi was stronger. So she kind of beat him to the punch. But both parties wanted to end it. So I think it just was like a little high school to me.
Yeah. I feel like this shows how prideful she is. But also, I thought it was a little bit sketch that after a conversation with Ollie, she goes back to Freddie, and I think it was Tom and Maria or maybe someone else. And she goes, oh, Ollie admitted he lied, which he did not.
I know.
He did it.
I caught that too.
Yeah.
Again, it's the ego talking to be like, no, I was the one who dumped him. He didn't dump me. And it was like, again, it's very childish.
Yeah.
You know?
And we liked Catherine in the first four episodes, but mm-hmm. I feel like when it came to Greece, this is when I started to kind of be like, I don't know if I'm fully on board with some of the things that she's saying.
Yeah. And how did you feel about Ollie after his conversation with Catherine, like going to Bobby and saying, oh, like it feels awkward, or there's like some weird tension, energy, because yeah. every time I look at her, she, like, I catch her looking at me and then she looks away. And I'm just like, Ollie, why are you
so preoccupied with that?
Exactly. Like, I kind of understand, because when you have a connection with somebody in the pods, it feels really real, and it's the first time everyone's kind of like seeing each other. So you kind of get this energy of like, oh, like there was something there. So like, obviously there's tension. I get it. But to point it out and talk to Bobby about it is a little weird to me. Like, what yeah. is going on with you?
It's tough, because I don't know if, like, I'm just going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if like a producer pointed it out to him on the side.
Yes.
And they're like, go talk to Bobby about it.
Yes.
And you know, like, I never know what's like kind of not producer pushed, mm-hmm. but is like placed as a talking
yes.
point.
Yes. The seed was planted.
Yes.
Also, you can tell at this meetup that alcohol was playing a huge role. Like,
absolutely.
I was like, they're like chugging shots. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I've been there. I've been there.
Yeah.
I understand. So, I mean, I can relate to it and I understand why. Like, no shade to Ollie, but that was a little yeah. weird.
No, you're definitely right. The alcohol played a role. And I honestly think that's probably what caused the tension between Catherine and Ollie.
Yeah.
I thought more would happen there, but I feel like after this couple's meetup, the first couple's meetup, like nothing really did.
Yeah, except the scream I scrumped.
What?
When Benaya and Nicole walked
in. Oh my goodness, same. I actually wasn't expecting that.
Not at all.
I didn't realize that when they had their conversation in London, that producers would ship them out to yeah. Greece. I feel like that never happens.
No, I definitely did not expect it, but it was so cute.
It was very,
I was
very
actually
cute.
Like, kind of my heart, like, was, I was actually very, very excited to see them. And I don't know, what I thought was really, really cute was the way the men, like, all were hugging each other. And it kind of like melted my heart, because I was like, look at this romance. Like, they love Benaya and I do too.
Of course. But on our season two, like mm-hmm. all the men were really, really close in the beginning until, you know, like drama started to get yeah. stirred a little bit, along with the women too.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's like natural. But I think what was really indicative of their love was more for like how much they like Benaya over Sam.
Yeah.
I think that yeah. was like very like,
yeah,
apparent.
I think it's very clear how the men feel about Sam.
Yeah.
What did you think about Demi initially being really insecure at that first couple's meetup over Catherine and Ollie's conversation?
I kind of understood it.
Me too.
Because it is kind of hard, especially when you're seeing your fiance, who's a very new fiance, and you're in a very unique experience, and they're like talking and laughing, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Of course I would feel some type of way. I would try to suppress that emotion for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's human nature and natural to have that emotion.
And again, the alcohol is flowing, so it's harder to kind of like hide what you're feeling. Totally. I mean, I felt the same way when Shane and Shayna were having their conversation on our season.
Yes, at the bonfire.
Yeah. And I was like, I just feel weird. Like, what are they going to talk about? What's going to be said? Mm-hmm. Why is this conversation even happening?
Right.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I get how she was feeling, but I don't think the alcohol helped. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I was trying to say about that. And I just felt really bad that her insecurities came out.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I don't know, like, I think she kind of talked about her insecurities, but it's not like she's like kind of very obviously saying, I'm so insecure about, like,
yeah.
what is she insecure about? We kind of don't know. I think it's just the fact that, you know, you're throwing in somebody like Catherine who looks differently than
yeah.
Demi. You know what I mean? And that's all that she said. And so I don't know exactly what that she was insecure about, but I understood it. I feel like I would be in the same boat too, because it's a lot of displaced energy and she doesn't have time to process anything. It's like all in the moment, you know?
I think it says a lot about Demi though, after the fact, mm-hmm. when all the couples meet up again, she has this like loving moment with Catherine, kind of like all is forgiven. Like, I love you back. So I was like, okay, yes. Even though Demi might feel a little insecure, she knows how to like kind of control how she feels.
Right.
And so I think that shows the type of person that she is.
Yeah. And the communication that she has with Ollie, I think is very positive. Like, I think they're able to like kind of talk about the hard things. And both of them get really overwhelmed in like a public situation.
Yeah.
With all the couple meetups. So I think like at least they have that. But speaking of the second time everyone meets up, can we please get into the Jasmine and Ollie fight? Because that came out of nowhere. That came out of left field.
I did not love that Jasmine confronted Ollie. She was overstepping.
Okay, here's the thing. I think I understand both of their perspectives. I really
do. Same.
Yes. But that's the thing, right? I think where Jasmine kind of oversteps, like you said, is when she's calling Demi insecure. And I think we talked about this. If I told you something about it, like, hey, I'm feeling really insecure in this relationship or this situation, and you went and told my partner about it, I would be pissed at you.
Yeah, same. Same. I think Jasmine had really good intentions. Yes. I also think alcohol played a part. She didn't seem like she was fully sober. And I think she also might have been having conversations with the producers on the side, being like, hey, you should bring this up to Ollie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when she said like Demi's an insecure girl and you need to give her more reinsurance, I was like, ooh,
yeah,
I was Demi. I would not want you to say that.
Yeah.
Even if the intentions were good, I totally get why Ollie was feeling overwhelmed. I totally get it even more now that he said he has ADHD.
Yes, yes.
But if I was in his shoes and I had a cast member who was coming at me like Jasmine was coming at him a little aggressively, I would also shut down and feel very overwhelmed, because I think the thoughts that would be going through my head is, okay, she's villainizing me.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of cameras here. Also, what is being said behind my back, whether it's amongst the other cast members or maybe with Demi. And I just need to like shut this down, because now, you know, the production company has all this footage.
Yes.
Of my fiance's good friend.
Yeah.
Just like ripping into me.
Yeah. I loved how poetic it was, though, because in that entire scene, like Demi is talking to her other friends about how much he reassures her, like rubs my back and does all these things. And then it like pans to them. And I'm like, okay, clearly this is like a huge miscommunication thing.
Yeah.
And like maybe she just didn't update Jasmine since the last time they talked. Like, I don't know where it came from, but you're right. I think like Jasmine was just trying to be a loyal, loyal friend.
Yeah. And she totally is.
Hold Ollie accountable for his actions, because at the time, like Demi was feeling a little off. So yeah, I totally understood her intention, but it was tough to see. And I kind of sided with Ollie on that. I'd be like, wait a minute. Like, I don't think it's your place to get involved in my relationship right now.
Yeah.
Because if not Demi right has an issue, Demi needs to talk to me about that issue. You know? Yeah.
I mean, look, if some guy was treating you wrongly, I'd probably rip him a new one.
You 100% would.
So in that way, I was like, I'm kind of on Jasmine's side, because I would do what Jasmine did if, let's say, your fiance was making you feel some sort of way, I'd be like, I'm gonna fuck him up.
Yeah.
So I get it. I think she just did it a little bit. She should have just used a little bit of different words.
Exactly.
But different lingo. All know that drunk friend, you know, like my best friend when I was in my 20s, we saw this guy at a bar who ghosted me, and she confronted him. And was I mortified? Hell yeah. I was like, no, just let him go. Like, let me ask.
That's different, though. Let me ask. You weren't currently in that relationship.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like one of those things, like,
it's embarrassing.
It's just my friend doing, you know, that just, that thing when alcohol's involved.
And it just makes you feel like you couldn't do it yourself, which is like, no, I can.
Yeah.
But yeah, it all comes from a good place, though. We're a Jasmine stan.
But going to London, Ollie and Demi are cute.
So cute. It was almost like Demi was the one taking care of Ollie, because like obviously Ollie was like, I have ADHD and it's pretty severe for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that scene actually made me cry.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. It's the way that she responded when he shared that he has ADHD and that he's only told 3 people outside his family. And she goes, that's fine. Like, you're beautiful with your words. You know, you're so eloquent or articulate, whatever she says. But I just teared up because, like, what a beautiful thing to respond with.
Yes, I agree.
And how much comfort that she gave Ollie in that moment.
Yeah. And it was like, it was so crazy how, I don't know, the tables just turn so much and they kind of are falling so in love with each other.
Yeah.
And that is the setting and the environment that that couple is thriving in. Like, the whole Grease thing was like overwhelming for them. You could tell, especially knowing that, you know, Ollie had ADHD and like his thoughts are all over the place. But it was a very beautiful moment.
I forget if she mentioned this in the pods. But in the scene where Ollie is meeting her friends, Demi mentions that she has endo, which I think stands for endometriosis. Mm. So it's harder for her to get pregnant. Yeah. But you can tell they're having serious conversations about their future because she shares that her and Ollie have talked about, you know, like fostering, adoption as like an alternative route.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh. It's like, so you guys sweet. Are literally talking about your future behind the scenes.
Yeah. And not to mention, Ollie said that his mom was adopted. So like, they have that connection. And I feel like this couple's going to make it.
Yeah. The only thing that bothered me is how he was acting at the couples meetup in London.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't think too much of it because all the guys were like googly eyeing.
Yeah. Like when he was like ogling over Charlotte, like he was like, oh, she's sublime. Like she's beautiful. But he's like, but Demi's the only one for me. Like, yeah. I hear you and I get that, but it's just kind of gross when you're calling another woman hot.
Yeah, especially because there's a camera.
I don't know. Yeah, especially in front of the cameras. It's just
that's the thing about,
I don't like that. And I think it's okay for people who are in relationships to think other people are hot. Like, yeah. I remember when I was in relationships and I see a hot man, I'm like, wow, that man's really good looking.
Yeah.
But it just, you know, I don't know. For that one, it just felt wrong because Charlotte is part of the pod squad and it seems like she's friends with the women. So it was just
Freddie and Catherine's conversation about Charlotte was really weird to me. And I think like you can kind of see Catherine's insecurities fall through a little bit there. Because first of all, she's the one who started the conversation being like,
Sam looks like my ex.
Sam is exactly like my ex, exactly like my ex. And then she kind of like pulled the information out of Freddie to see like, oh, who do you think is good looking? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that was like a really weird encounter. It feels like Freddie and Catherine are not going to make it.
I don't think that they're going to make
it. They're not going to.
So initially I understood Catherine's insecurities when Freddie revealed he cheated in a past relationship. Mm-hmm. Because I also share the same mindset as Catherine. Once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
I've also read a lot of studies.
Of course you did. Your FBI agent knows very well. He probably sent it to you. He's like, Freddie's a cheater. Let me send that over to Natalie. I read this study. I'm cackling.
I read this study. Like, once someone cheats, like, there's a high probability that they will cheat again.
Your research-based opinions kill me.
Especially if they've done it in adulthood. And Freddie is 32 when filming Love is Blind UK.
Yes.
And he said he cheated 7 years ago, so he was 25.
Yeah.
Which is still a full-ass grown adult to me.
Yeah, but okay, you know what? That's funny.
And he didn't even tell his ex. He goes, she found out.
Okay, but he's being honest. He could have easily been like,
Should have been honest then, Freddie.
You know what, though? I think, you know, it's really funny because I actually thought of you when this scene was happening because I was like, this bitch definitely is going to be like, once a cheater, always a cheater is right. But you know me, I'm a little bit like a little different because I do think that sometimes past things can be an indicative of what you do in the future, or your past can really help you grow and realize the mistakes that you make. And I'm all about growth mindset. So, you know, sometimes
you're Nicole.
Sometimes in relationships, though, or in like any part of life, you have to take the leap of faith and not hold it against them. But you can see the energy shifted with Catherine and Freddie when that piece of information was revealed. I was like, Catherine's 100%. Like, I'm gonna stick it to this man. Like, he cheated 7 years ago. Best believe I'm gonna let him know I'm not happy.
Yeah. Here's where I think Catherine and I differ. I feel like if I was in Catherine's shoes and I was feeling that insecure over it, I'd be like, hey, I can't take the chance. you know, getting cheated on before really broke me, so this is done. Or if you make the decision to stick it out, you can't hold it against them for the entirety of the relationship, because you could tell she was just so annoyed with him.
Yeah.
Super insecure. And it's like, hey, you got to take more actions to be like, if you're going to accept this and stay with him, how do you build that trust?
Yeah. And you can kind of see that when they come back to London too. It's like, I don't know if it's necessarily about the fact that he cheated in the past, but their entire energy shifts. And I think they're like kind of finding out these quirky things about each other that they don't really love. And it's a little odd. It kind of sucks. But did you also notice an energy shift from like kind of not going well to going pretty well after Catherine saw Freddie's apartment? She's like, this man is rich. This man is put together.
I don't know. Although his doors were like not even attached.
That was weird.
I could tell like things are going downhill for this couple. I think the fact that his humor annoys her and she thinks that he's winding her up.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the end.
100%
like
the end.
Humor has to be loved and shared in a relationship.
I agree.
Or it's not going to work.
Because you are a prime example of why that could not work, because your humor annoyed the shit out of your ex-fiancé. And he's like, why are you putting me down?
Okay.
Which is your sign of love.
You know what's so crazy though? And I've already mentioned this. And I'm sure if you ask him, he'll say it too.
Yeah.
We share the same sense of humor. Yeah. He said some mean fucking shit to me as a joke. Behind the scenes, it just never made it on camera. So when we were filming and I was calling him a piece of shit and he was all like insecure about it, I was like, wait, what? You literally called me like a fucking bitch. Like,
it's just exactly when it's on camera and like displayed out to the world, he's like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's sensitive. But yeah, with Catherine and Freddie, like tensions are definitely rising. You can tell. And I don't know, like the compatibility seems to be a missing factor here. And if they push through and like say yes at the altar, they're going to have some issues. And I pray that there is a prenup in place.
I mean, can we talk about that? Her issues with the prenup?
Yeah.
I've seen some comments from our pod besties in the UK who have said that prenups are a little bit different there. Mm. And I think prenups aren't legally binding or something along those lines.
Oh, interesting. Then what's the point of a prenup?
Yeah, that's why they're like, why is it that big of a deal?
Oh, interesting.
But I thought it was very interesting that Catherine was really concerned at the fact that Freddie wants his house to go to his sister, because I kind of understand it. I think that there's probably something bigger there, in that, you know, he knows he has to take care of his brother. And I feel like that's kind of related to his sister, like something along those lines.
Yeah. He's very family oriented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I will say about Catherine is I actually agree with how she feels about the prenup, specifically the clause where he wants to include that his house goes to his sister. Honestly, if I'm marrying a guy and we live in a house together, that is our house, and he doesn't get to decide who our house is going to.
Yeah, but that's the hard part about the situation, is that Catherine would be moving into Freddie's house. And so technically that's his, and it's not something that they bought together. So I think that's what's in the back of his mind. And also leaving the house to his sister, that kind of seems more like a will type of situation, not a prenup type of situation. Because in a prenup, when you get divorced, like you're kind of splitting your assets. Whereas this is like, he's talking about if I die, like the house will go to my sister. I feel like,
which you could put in a prenup, but maybe prenups in the UK are a little bit different.
Yeah, that's exactly what I don't understand. But also, I feel like once they're married for a longer time, you can kind of change that stuff.
Right. But I think it's more so like he's kind of, it sounds like he's kind of set, like this is what's going to happen. But from my point of view, regardless of who bought the house, who owns it, like that house, if I was in Catherine's shoes, I'd be like, that house is our house. If I move in, this is our marital home.
Yeah. Can I say one vibe that I got with this couple? I feel like the reason why Freddie is talking like this and like kind of putting up some boundaries is because he realizes the compatibility is like missing. And like,
well, he says it so many times.
I was dying when he was talking to his friends and she's like, it's not like I'm going to Nobu all the time. And he goes, what's Nobu? I was dying. I was like, hey,
you didn't watch season
I'll tell
two?
You about Nobu already. It was just so funny. But I think that's why he's being like, so like, yeah, if I die, the home is good.
Yeah.
I feel like
he thinks she's very bougie and high maintenance.
Yeah. And yeah. So I think
he wants to protect, like, I think his assets and also his family.
Yes. And it's at the end of the day, like, Catherine is kind of a stranger. Obviously, this experience is so unique, but like, it is important to protect yourself and things can change over time. But if he is already talking about divorce, that means that, like, in the back of his mind, he is concerned about their relationship and their longevity, you know? So I kind of understand it.
I agree. I just don't think he should assume that's something that she will agree to. I think it's kind of ridiculous just because,
I agree,
again, like, yeah, I totally get why. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to protect your asset. You also want to, I'm assuming he wants his family to be taken care of in case anything happens.
Yeah.
He has a brother with Down syndrome, mm-hmm. and obviously him or his sister might be taking care of his brother for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
So I was like, I get it. Like, yeah. I totally, totally get it. It might be related to that in terms of why he wants the house to go to his sister. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to kind of put that out there to your fiance.
That's exactly my thought too. I think, like, Catherine, if I was Catherine, I would feel some type of way as well.
Yeah.
Even though I understand what Freddie's saying, it's easier from like an outside perspective, but if I was Catherine, I'd be like kind of offended. Yeah. I would be like, why are you, first of all, talking to me about a prenup right now? And why is the only prenup clause the house that we would live in?
Yeah. Like, it's very interesting that Freddie's sister can sense that he's different.
Yeah.
Like, how she makes that comment that he's more reserved. And and I loved that she goes, you need to think, is Catherine good enough for you? Because Freddie is feeling not good enough for Catherine.
Yes.
And I was like, wow.
That's,
siblings really do have the wise words.
Oh, absolutely. I even remember on our season, after my brother and sister-in-law met Shake, my sister-in-law texted me immediately and was like, that's not the person for you. Like, knew it right away. And my brother was kind of like on the fence, but my sister-in-law was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And you need people like that in your life because they know you for who you are.
And want the best for you.
Exactly. There's like no biased opinions. And yeah, I don't know. That was a really beautiful moment. I think his sister is really looking out for him.
I just love Freddie's family. I love protective siblings. This also got me a little bit emotional just seeing what Freddie had to say about his brother. And just, he's like, he's my everything.
Yeah.
And then just the way that his sister very calmly has Freddie's back and like tells him what he needs to hear.
Yes, yes. And it's, like, kind of just beautiful. Change his mindset. Yeah, that whole family scene was really... really emotional.
I know I hate cheaters. I talk about it in every episode where we talk about cheating, but Freddie is one of my favorites on this cast.
I agree.
He gives very good energy. I hate that he cheated at age 25. As a grown man, but
you
still.
Never know. Also, my sister is so funny. I was watching this piece with her and I was like, did you look at like Freddie? Like, he's just so good looking. And then the cheating thing comes out in Greece and she looks over at me and she goes, oh, that's why you like him. And I was like, wow, that is so rude.
He's a good looking man.
He is. And we don't know the circumstances, but.
Yeah. One more thing about Catherine and Freddie. Why did the editors highlight her interaction with Sam at the couples meetup in London, or the pod squad meetup?
Because my theory is right, they're together. And I'm just kidding.
They follow each other on Instagram right now.
Well, the I think the reason why they did that was because kind of to show that Catherine was getting back at Freddie for saying that Charlotte
was attractive.
Yes, that is exactly why. Because then you can see that she's kind of like playing revenge there a little bit and being like, well, if you think Charlotte's hot, watch me, you know, go flirt with somebody who looks like my ex-boyfriend. And she's like touching him, feeling up. The ring comment was absolutely insane to me.
No, I know.
I was like, the disrespect towards Freddie.
Well, to be fair, at least this is what they do on the US season. There are 12 available rings and the men have to rank, you know, their favorite rings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes they're given a ring that they did not rank. It's like the ugliest one out of the bunch. And I know Mallory was so upset with her ring. And I'm not going to lie. It was not a good ring.
Okay. But
I 100% agree. So I was like, maybe Catherine got stuck with an ugly ring, because that happens.
It totally happens. Okay, fine.
And it's not Freddie's fault.
I'll give her the benefit of the doubt.
He didn't win the ranks.
But like to talk about that while cameras are rolling is absurd. And you know, she was just trying to say that just to like, I don't know, just to kind of like, kind of feed her ego a little bit. You know, I don't know, man. That just rubbed me the wrong way.
From my very broken memory, I remember me, Malayana, while the cameras were taping, would talk about like, God damn, our rings. Yeah, ugly.
You guys are crazy.
We're like so bad.
That's the one thing Shake did right. I loved my
ring. I would literally look at Ayana and be like, can we trade rings?
No. You would.
Because it's not like Shane, you know, like
went out and picked it up.
He just like ranked the ones I told him to rank, actually. I'd be like, I want this shape.
That's so funny.
So, and he's like, okay, I'll see what we can get and rank them. So
that's so funny. Okay, let's get into Nicole and Benaiah. What did you think about their connection?
So they're very, very cute.
Yes.
I really like them a lot during these scenes in London.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how spontaneous Benaiah is.
Mm.
Like, I forgot about his whole living situation.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, I don't know, it doesn't really fit Nicole. Nicole confuses me a little bit, too. I really like her. I feel like she's very graceful and poised.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole situation with Sam really confused me. And I think that's what caused my confusion about her.
Yeah.
I can't tell if she's so classy and understanding towards Sam because she believes everyone has good intentions.
Yeah.
You know, like she kind of like lacks that judgment a little bit.
Yeah.
Or if she's trying to shut down that something happened that Benaiah doesn't know about, because her and Sam talk about the fact that they met up at Sam's house.
Yeah. First of all, that was like really weird, because when did they even have time to do that? It seemed like they came to Greece like right away. Like how long did they spend in Greece? I don't know. But I think the encounter between Benaiah and Sam was interesting to me. But I'm honestly really proud of Benaiah for laughing in Sam's face when Sam was like, yo, well, she tried to, you know, be intimate with me when we spent the night together or whatever. I was really proud of Benaiah because fuck you, Sam. Like, why are you trying to throw that in my face? Like,
so
your words do not impact me in any way. but I actually really like Benaiah and Nicole together. I agree with you. I think I see a little bit of myself in Nicole because we both try to see like the good in people. And I think that's why Benaiah was so upset, because it's like, Nicole, how are you not seeing what's right in front of your face? And it's because she's kind of falling for the love bombs that Sam puts out there. And it's easy to kind of fall into that trap of, oh, like, he is good to me. Like, look at how he's speaking to me. But kind of, Benaiah kind of sees what goes on behind the scenes and how Sam really is. So I think like that's their really only biggest like hurdle, I think.
Yeah.
Because I like them together a lot. And I like that Benaiah has so much like good banter.
Yeah.
He's like funny.
Yeah. I mean, I like them. I'm still on the fence if they'll get married or not. I hope they do, because I really do like them both. Again, I'm very curious how they're going to address the Sam situation moving forward, because obviously the conversation between Sam and Benaiah did not go well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that scene also showed Benaiah has so much anger towards Sam.
Yeah.
And like, is he going to let it fester? And you could tell Nicole just wants to shut it down.
Which I honestly am kind of.
But
like,
can I tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
But I also think about like going back to Sam's comment, where he says, you know, like, Nicole wants to be intimate with me. What is the timeline around that?
I don't know.
Because what's shown on the show is, right, they end it when they're on set in the pods. And then she meets up with Benaiah and they get reengaged and then go to Greece. So I was like, at what point did you go to Sam's house and want to be intimate with him?
Yeah, it must have been right after the reveal. It must have been right after the reveal, right before Greece. While everyone flew to Greece, they probably like stayed back and kind of hung out. And
but
then
do you think
she
that
realized
they like ended it, because it looked like she was still in the hotel room.
Yeah,
that they stay in when they're filming in the pods.
Yes.
So they it looks like they ended it and then went back to London.
Right.
So did that meetup happen after they ended their engagement?
Yeah, it must have all happened literally in between the time they flew to Greece, which means they were probably only in Greece for like 4 to 5 days.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking of like how, what the trajectory of like our stories
like if it's similar to yeah. our timeline when we were in Mexico on our honeymoon.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I'm like very confused. And obviously it's not like around the time when she's like talking about how, oh, I want to go return his ring and bracelet. Like, obviously yeah. it's not then. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. I don't know when that happened, but can we just talk about the fact that they glossed over that whole situation? Like, Nicole really shut down the conversation with Benayo when that happened.
Well, that's the reason why I'm confused.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, are you just giving a lot of grace to Sam, or do you just want to be like, I want to shut this down. I don't want people to know that we met. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I think that's exactly what it was. You're right. Like, the production knew that obviously something had transpired and they like hung out and spent the night together. And so they must have been like, Sam, it's time for you to come in and kind of expose that 100%. Piece of information, because Nicole would have never done it.
Yeah.
Which makes sense as to why she doesn't want to talk about it on camera. She's like, I just want to move on from this.
Yeah.
A little shady.
I know. Okay. I know you said you really liked the way that Benaya laughed in Sam's face during their conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I think Sam deserved it. But I don't think Benaya handled that conversation as well as I thought he would. Like, I felt like he was like super immature. He was probably drunk. I mean, you could kind of tell. He was like repeating words and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I felt like, I don't know, he seems like someone who would have more of a mature conversation with someone when confronting them. I felt like in this moment, he wanted to have like a mic drop moment. Like, he just wanted to like shit all over Sam and like walk away. And I was like, I don't know. It just seemed very out of character. And I don't know, it gave a little bit of like, also the way he was just like talking to Nicole about it, I was like a little bit controlling.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a different opinion on that, because I think when emotions are high, and like you said, alcohol is a flowing, I think that like it does probably still hurt Benaya, the fact that he was chosen second and that Nicole chose him first. And I think Sam kind of has this energy like, yeah, I was chosen first. Like, it didn't work out. Like, I don't know. It's Sam's energy is so like entitled and very much like, yeah, I'm going to like bust in here. I'm going to like go talk to your girl. I'm going to like, I don't know. His energy is always like all over the place and like so full of himself. So I think that's why I appreciated Benai being like, dude, fuck you. And was just like kind of talking in his face, because Sam doesn't deserve like any grace.
Niceties.
I don't know. That's kind of how I felt. Okay. I'm not saying I hate Sam. I don't. I think he is a little bit misunderstood, but I think he's Benaya an asshole in understanding his feelings.
When he made that comment to Benaya, like about Nicole wanting to sleep with him, I was like, you're an asshole.
Yeah, because he was offended.
He
was offended because Benaya was like, well, I think you're disingenuous. Like, I think you were here for the wrong reasons. And he was pissed off and was like, what can I say to hurt Benaya?
Yeah, but that's a fact. But that's the reason that shows he's like an insecure asshole, is the fact that he had a shit talk Nicole, who he kind of just had a lovely conversation with, just to hurt Nicole's fiance. Yeah. I don't know. It's just
that was
it's
so just like, oh, that was so shady when he brought that up to Nicole.
Yeah,
being like, so like, are you upset that like we didn't hook up? Like, not that exact words.
Yeah,
but, like, on that tone.
I wonder if producers planted the seed, like, hey, you should bring this up.
Yeah, 100. You know they did.
Another really inappropriate conversation that happened was between Tosh and Tom, in my opinion.
Yes.
That conversation pissed me the fuck off. Ooh. And maybe because I am, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm just going to put it out there. It is that time of the month for me. So I'm feeling very hormonal.
You're emotional.
But also, I have been in Maria's position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you empathize with her.
Yeah. Where my fiance and someone he had a connection with in the pods are having an inappropriate conversation, saying inappropriate things in that conversation when I'm in the fucking room. Well, in my case, it was on the beach. But honestly, after seeing that conversation between Tosh and Tom, I had no respect for either of them. I just don't like it when Tosh was saying like, you know, our connection was so strong, I think I fell in love with you. Just fucking say like, I'm happy for you.
I know.
That's all that needs to be said.
I understand why it felt like the connection was so real in the pods. But when you're outside of the pods and you have a motherfucking fiance, like, control yourself.
I know.
And like, you're giving production exactly what they want. Like, you are so dumb.
100%.
And I don't care if you have alcohol flowing through your system. You and I would never act like that. Like,
exactly.
Tosh, I understand, I guess. Like, she has no skin in the game. Like, okay, yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. Like, I'm going to pray that you like me more. Like, those kind of, like, thoughts come through.
Yeah.
But Tom.
I was like, Tom, you're 38. You show off that you're a high-powered PR executive, and yet you did the worst PR thing for yourself by sharing, like, by first entertaining the conversation, mm-hmm. by second sharing that him and Maria have had little blips. Why the fuck are you sharing that with your other connection?
Yeah.
After she just said, like, oh, like, I think I fell in love with you.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these men are so stupid. It literally just, my bones just crack thinking about it.
It's because it's hard to do the right thing in the moment, especially when you want your partner to like you. And that's the whole thing, is like, it's a game. It's a game. The whole thing is a game. And, you know, obviously production probably pushed them to talk. We knew that was going to happen. That's 100%. The only reason they brought
Tosh
back.
But how many times have we been pushed to talk? And we know that, like, we can't say the type of things that him and Tosh were saying.
I know. It's because the cameras are around. Like, at least, I don't know. I'm not saying they should talk at all, to be honest. But I do have to say, I think it's also the point in Tom and Maria's relationship where they have had a few blimps, as Tom would say. Mm. It's been, like, kind of a rocky road for them. And I'm thinking that they're not going to get married.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Like, I'm not sure if they're going to work out. I mean, I was really surprised when Tom revealed that him and Maria got into a spat because she didn't like that he didn't pay for the coffee that she offered to pay for. And according to him, at least, she goes into a whole thing about how a man should pay for everything in the initial stages of courtship. Look, if that situation happens the way he said it, where she offered and then got mad.
Yeah.
She's in the wrong.
I agree. I also don't vibe with that mentality. But
same.
Everyone is entitled to
be. Everyone's different.
Yes. And culture plays a role. And, you know, totally have your opinion. But I am not on that side. I think it should be an equal partnership. And I also think that, like, this is indicative of the reason why they're not going to get married.
Yeah.
Because those are big things. Like, yeah. And also, it was so funny when Tom was telling the story to his sisters.
Mm.
And if I was his sister, I'd be like,
same. I'd be like,
yeah, no. And also, it was like such a small thing. It's not like she's paying for something super expensive, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, I don't really agree with that.
I feel like the moment he said that, I was like, oh, it really shows that there's so much more happening in their relationship behind the scenes. Because obviously we don't see that scene where they get into this specific spat.
Mm-hmm.
We do see the scene where they get into a fight when he says to her, like, yeah, I judged you for being a makeup artist initially.
Yeah.
And that he had preconceived notions of her, mm-hmm. and probably not high opinions of her.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be honest, what an asshole thing to say. It might be the truth, and I'm sure we have preconceived notions of people too. I mean, that is just human nature. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, to say it on TV, and I don't know, to even think that too, of just, yeah, like, I'm a makeup artist. Like, there are very successful makeup artists out there. It just kind of shows, like, the type of person he is too.
Yeah. But okay, what's interesting though is I was kind of on the fence about this conversation, because I loved what he said about being hardworking and being, like, career driven. And I think that's what indicates character. It's not about the profession itself.
Mm.
It's about how much work you put towards your passion in life. And if they aligned on that mindset, I think that would be great. But I do agree with you. I hated how he came off very judgmental. And I'm so happy Maria stood up for herself.
Yeah.
And was like, who the fuck do you think you are?
I loved that.
I clap back, honey.
Yeah.
But what I love about their relationship and their connection is that they are able to have really hard conversations. These topics that they're talking about, finances, who should pay for what, like, careers and type of career, like, these are very hard things to talk about.
But it sounds like they aren't really talking about them. They're more so fighting about them.
But that's the starting point, you know?
Yeah, true. I feel like it's these types of things that show, like, you're either meant to be or not meant to be.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This is a point in the experiment where the magic either grows or it kind of just fizzles out, and you understand why, it's just not going to work out.
Or it's like the couples who got divorced on our season where, yes, you have the conversations, but not deep enough, and you don't really see, like, you're focused on making it work instead of seeing the incompatibilities.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Man, I know this is there's a lot of layers to all these couples. Yeah. But
I mean, we have two left. We have Steven and Sabrina and Jasmine and Bobby. And let me just say, Steven and Sabrina are my favorite couple. I love Sabrina. I actually think she's my favorite cast member.
Oh, I actually really, really like their connection so much. Their families are so wholesome.
So amazing.
But at the same time, they're like skeptical, but they're like
very realistic.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I really appreciated about this connection. And that's why I feel like they're definitely going to get married, because their values just align. What I found was interesting was that they haven't brought up the whole children, like pregnancy or like having children, or that storyline hasn't come to play at all. So I wonder if it's going to come in the next episodes, but so far it seems like they're not.
I'm hoping that they're privately talking about it, but I do feel like they're that couple. And I kind of saw this in Tiffany and Brett, and what Shane and I were also attempting to do, where you try to put up a strong front because you really love that person. Yeah. And you're like, this footage is going to last forever. Mm. And our children might see this footage.
Yeah.
Our friends and family will. And I'm going to protect this relationship.
Yeah.
And I love those type of people because I did it and I love myself.
Yeah. No, I'm in the same boat as you. I did that same thing. Like, not everyone needs to know your business. You can still put yourself out there, but set boundaries for yourself.
Yeah.
And you're right. Maybe that is the case, or it's just not an issue and they've figured out, like, we can make it work. You know, it seems like they're a very mature, like, couple.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, they're having very real conversations. I loved his brothers. I loved, her sister. The fact that they're in Ireland was kind of sweet.
But I want to just bring up a general question about this. I didn't realize how far, are they called provinces? Like, I don't know, towns. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how far all these towns are from where, like, the cast is from. Like, Birmingham to London to Belfast, like all these places. And I'm like, isn't this a deal breaker? Because I don't think if I dated someone 2 hours driving distance away from me, that's long distance.
Yeah. And I guess that's kind of yes. I think that's kind of what Steven and Sabrina's like small storyline was about, like, where are we going to move to? But they're so like,
but they're so easygoing about it.
They're considerate, like, of each other.
We can make it work.
Exactly. Like, we can be bi-coastal. We can do this or that. And I don't know. Yeah, they're definitely getting married and I love them.
I mean, they just give me such good energy, especially Sabrina. I'm not good at gauging people through a screen. I mean, look, I thought Trevor was great until Trevor from Love is Blind season 6 until all those allegations came out. I feel like everyone did, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard because it's like such an edited piece of like their life. Yeah.
I really like Sabrina. That's all I can say. And I really like Steven and I like them together. No notes. 10 out of 10.
Yes. And also they just look so good together also. So
I want to be their child.
I'm rooting for them. And if they don't get married, I'm going to be very, very, very upset.
Same.
And it's going to be like a shock.
That would be the shock of the century if they don't get married.
Right.
Can we talk about the last couple, Jasmine and Bobby, who got the least amount of screen time?
Yes. Jasmine and Bobby, when they came back up on my screen, like in what, episode 6, 7? I don't even know which one. I was like, oh my God, I forgot that you guys were here.
Same.
Not like to be like a mean thing, because Jasmine was like so like highlighted in the fight with Ollie. That I was like, oh, she's about to have like a strong like presence in these later episodes. But I like, there's not much that we see of them except for their interaction with her mom. Jasmine's mom is a strong personality.
She scared me.
She scared me too.
A little bit of anxiety.
Yeah.
Watching those scenes.
She's the type that you cannot come home with bad grades. You know, like you're going to get a whooping.
She, like the Asian mom stereotype, she is on the extreme end. I do feel like the way the mom was speaking to Bobby, I did not appreciate. I totally get that parents have concerns mm-hmm. for their kids, you know, being engaged on Love is Blind, but also the potential of getting married so soon. Yeah. Totally get that. My parents felt the same way, but I didn't like how the way she was speaking to Bobby felt like she was in attack mode.
Yeah.
And kind of like setting these standards in terms of like what her role is going to be in their relationship.
Yeah.
And I'm like, someone needs to set boundaries here. Like, Jasmine, you got to set some boundaries. And I feel like Jasmine tried to like defend herself and set boundaries, but you could tell her mom's just like a really, really strong personality.
Exactly. And she's a strong presence in her life, as she should be. But I think you kind of nailed it when you said, like, I think Jasmine does have those boundaries set. Like, she does know that her mom plays a big role in her life, but at the same time, she's the one who's going to be making the decisions in her life. And I don't think she's willing to budge off of Bobby. So I was like, okay, let's go.
That was a lot, though. Can I be honest? One thing that I've learned from my married friends mm-hmm. and also my parents is that your future in-laws are such a deal breaker.
Agreed.
When it comes to considering marrying your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in Bobby's case, I wonder if her mom is going to be a deal breaker.
I don't know, because Bobby is like so in love with Jasmine, and I feel like I'm really starting to like him a lot.
Same.
And I feel like the way he handled it was really well. Like, he's like, you know what? I understand that there's concerns from a mom perspective, and I'm just going to kind of let her voice her opinion. But my loyalty is to Jasmine, and I'm going to show her at the end of the day. But you're totally right about the in-laws thing. Like, it's not just you and your partner getting married. It's two entire families uniting.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
You're literally adopting an entirely new family.
Mm-hmm. And all of their baggage, you know? So I don't know. Maybe it could be a deal breaker, but I feel like this is another couple that's going to get married.
Ooh, okay. Well, we're going to do predictions at the end. Who says I do or I don't?
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to say about Jasmine is the reason why I like her so much as well
mm-hmm.
is she admits that she has insecurities. She says in the beginning of this set of episodes that she doesn't like, you know, her man being on social media mm-hmm. and like being on their phone so much because she doesn't know what he's looking at or something like that. She's implying that. But she doesn't act insecure, even though she brought that up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the difference between her and Catherine.
Yeah, I think
she doesn't let her insecurities define her or change the way she acts and build a relationship.
And it's healthy communication. I think we all as human beings have insecurities in life, but it's how you address them and how you kind of tackle those insecurities that kind of builds your character. And you're totally right. I loved their conversation and how she pulled up the video of the music video.
Yeah.
That was like sultry or whatever. And he's like, ma'am, that like happened a long time ago. But I loved how honest their conversation was, which is why I think they have a good foundation. I think that's why they're going to make it. But I do have to say, in Catherine's defense a little bit, I think the whole piece of her being adopted does come into play where she needs more reassurance and like more love. And I mean, like, who's to say like how much that's impacted her life? But I think that is something that plays a role. And she's kind of mentioned it a little bit.
And it might be 100%. And mm-hmm. I totally get that. But I always feel like sometimes the things that we struggle with individually, whether it's the way we were raised, childhood trauma, like any sort of emotional baggage, we have to sort that out for ourselves and not project that onto our partners.
I absolutely agree with you, because your partner can't be your therapist or the person that you go to kind of deal with that.
Yeah. Or you
trauma.
Can't like, you can't take it out on them
mm-hmm.
if they're not giving you what you need.
Yeah.
You need to like sort it out in a very mature way.
Yeah. And it's hard though, because sometimes those insecurities and those issues aren't even highlighted until things happen in the relationship.
Totally.
You know, and then it takes a really strong person to be like, oh my gosh, I should not have acted that way, or, you know, kind of taking responsibility or ownership of those feelings. It's just, it's kind of like it comes in waves, you know?
Yeah.
It's a tough thing. But yeah, I mean, dude, what's lovely about us like talking about every single one of these couples, there's six total couples, is that I see so much like growth in them, and also like I am rooting for all of them. I really am. Like,
I'm not rooting for all of them.
I don't know. I just like individually or together, you know, I'm like rooting for all, most of this cast. And I feel like that's a really hard thing to happen. Like, usually there's someone on the cast.
There's usually like a very clear like villain.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like typically there's very polarizing personalities on Love is Blind. But on this cast, I think that they're just complex characters.
Yes.
Minus Sam. For me, I was like, you are in the villain role.
I don't count Sam as even part of like the main cast anyways. So I'm like, whatever. And also I'm wishing the well for Sam as well. Like, I'm going to be nice, you know. But the actual six couples, like there's not one person where I'm like, you're horrible and you suck and you don't deserve. You know what I mean? Nothing like that. And usually there's definitely someone. Yeah, they're all very lovely individuals, and together or not together, I think, like, you know, they're just, oh, I love them all.
Well, let's do some I do predictions.
Mm-hmm, let's do
first
it.
First couple, Steven and Sabrina.
Absolutely, I do.
100%, I agree. Jasmine and Bobby?
Yes. I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say yes too, but I wonder if they'll have, like, you know, like some surprise, like, thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I feel like both these couples can't be like perfect I do's.
No, I agree. I think there's going to be maybe some turbulence.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be an I do.
We'll see. Demi and Ollie.
If you would have asked me at the beginning of these set of episodes, I would be like, hell nah, girl. But I think yes. I think they're going to say yes. What do you think?
Okay. I'm 50-50. I think that they could say I do, but I have a feeling that Ollie is going to say I don't. I think that even though he's so dedicated to Demi and says that, I feel like he still gives that like, I like being single energy, especially the comments he made about Charlotte. I know that, again, my prediction is not really based on much. I'm just trying to see. Like,
yeah. Well, you have to pick. So you're going to say no?
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
Okay, I'm going to say yes, only because of how much Demi takes care of Ollie. And I think he likes her presence a lot. So I'm going to say yes.
Tom and Maria.
No.
Same. They're going to say I don't. Who do you think will say I don't?
I think Tom is going to say I don't. And I think it's because of cultural differences. I think it's because of financial differences. I think, yeah. And honestly, Maria deserves more.
Okay. I also think that Tom is going to say I don't. I hope Maria says I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because I definitely like Maria a little bit more than Tom.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Okay. Yeah. Nicole and Benaiah.
This one's a tough one for me.
I know, I'm split too.
Oh, I'm so split with this.
I think they're going to say I don't. I want them to say I do, but I don't know. I just feel like, listen, I don't know. I feel like Nicole's going to say I don't.
The way Love is Blind edits their shows, they make it seem like everything is going well. And then
Shane and I.
Yeah. And then at the very end, they hit you with this happened and this. And there's two more episodes. And I feel like some shit's going to go down. I want to say yes. Oh, I think no, because have they even talked about where they're gonna live, what they're gonna do, like how they earn money? Like, not none of that stuff is like talked about.
It's so hard because I wonder if they do talk about it privately. Exactly. And it just, they never talked in front of the cameras. Yeah,
there's so much happening.
But agreed, like, I don't know why I have this feeling.
Especially with Nicole being married previously, I feel like she's not gonna just jump in and rush.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to date, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm 50-50. Yeah. I feel like they could say I do, but I have a feeling they might also say I don't. Yeah. Freddie and Catherine.
No. It's not happening.
Yeah. I don't. I actually believe this 100% that they will not say I do at the altar just based on the social media activity.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking about how the women don't follow Catherine.
Yeah.
So I was like, and they follow Freddie. And I was like, that's suspicious.
See, okay. You know what I think happens? I think the Freddie says no, Catherine says yes. And to spite Freddie, she starts dating Sam.
Crazy.
That's a crazy plot twist.
Crazy,
but I feel
crazy.
Like that's going to happen.
Wow. Imagine if that happens.
Because, I mean, it's a little weird that she only follows Sam. Okay. Anyways.
Wow.
I think Freddie's going to be the one to say no. Which means Freddie might be on pretty much.
Honestly, he fits right in. If you take a look at his Instagram, I'm like, you know, you don't look like the Freddy on the show. You look like you belong on Love Island.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Wholesome Freddy does not exist on on his Instagram, let me tell you. Yeah. We're really excited for the last two episodes that come out this Wednesday. But let us know what you thought about these last five episodes. DM us on our Instagram page or Out of the Pods, or you can comment on our YouTube video.
And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Monday.
Bye.